Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Boskalis Results Call for US GP Investors. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 3rd of September 2015. And I'd now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Martin Scheudeveer. Please go ahead.
Good day, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for dialing in today. Indeed, as the operator announced, our half-year results, we've released those two weeks ago. Today, around here at the table in Papendrecht, Hans Kamp, our CFO, will be running through the presentation and accompanied by Frank and Karl Heinz from the Treasury side. We'll have a Q&A afterwards, as you're used to, and the dial-in details will be sent around by email probably tomorrow morning. With that, Hans, I'd like to hand over to you.
Okay, thank you, Martijn. Good day, everybody, and again, thank you for expressing your interest and dialing in. We, as you may have seen in the presentation, we've had quite a good first half year, I would say. Good results in the various parts of the business. I'll run it through with you in a few seconds. Maybe just first the headlines. Revenues slightly higher than last year. If you correct those for deconsolidation and currency effects, a substantial part of our business is US dollar based, and with a stronger US dollar, obviously has had a positive effect on revenues and also on results. Correcting for that, revenue has been in line with the first half of last year. Net profit is higher. EBITDA records 500 million in the first half. Other than if we correct that for currency, more in line with the first half of the year. But I'll say some more on that when we go through the various segments. Order book is somewhat down compared to the beginning of this year, and as we'll discuss in a minute, that is to a large extent due to a lower order book in dredging, and that has a lot to do with the fact that we've made quite some progress on the large Suez Canal project that you may have seen or heard about. But again, I'll be discussing that in a minute or so. I won't repeat myself, so I won't discuss the next slide, number 4. Just quickly go on to slide 5, where you see some of the numbers particularly relevant for you guys, our governance and exchange at sea. Like last year, we're very well within the limits that we have agreed with you people, with a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 0.7, well below 1, and an interest cover ratio very well ahead of the number agreed. So I don't think any particular reason for concern for you there. Slide 6 I will not discuss. For the fact, as I already said, order book is down compared to last year to a large extent due to the earlier mentioned Suez project. If we go on to slide 8, where we have summarized revenues and EBIT per segment, just to zoom in on the results part. Dredging and inland revenue is down versus first half of last year, but it is absolutely as we expected it. We expected a larger decrease, considering the fact, as you may remember, the first half of last year was very, very substantially impacted. By settlement results on projects that we already technically completed, taking that into account, and well, I'll be discussing that in a minute when we discuss the segment results. Dredging has turned in a very good performance the first half of the year. Same applies to offshore energy. Also, if I would correct that for currency, it's more in line or slightly lower than the first half of last year. Dowage and salvage, So we correct that for some deconsolidation, as we also will discuss in a minute, can say has been in line with the first half of last year. And so holding and eliminations is much better than last year, but that has a lot to do with the revaluation of our stake in Fugro, which I also will be discussing in a couple of minutes. Let's go on to a bit more then into the details of the segment, and then I'm looking at slide 9 and also at slide 10, where in slide 10 to start with, you see summarized the utilization of equipment, the hoppers and cutters. In one word, that utilization has been very strong, or I would say excellent the first half of the year. Hoppers has been very strong with 44 weeks, compared with an average of last year of 40. And if we would split the 2014 in the two halves, first half of last year was 42 weeks. The second half we were down to 38 weeks, so strong recovery towards 44 weeks in the first half of this year. But even more noteworthy is the utilization of the cutters, which has reached an extreme high level of 48 weeks. And you can't see it here, but I can tell you even in the second quarter it started with a number of 5, which are levels that are unheard of. In all my years with Vestalis, I have never come across these kinds of utilization rates. That also means they are very unusual, unlikely to be repeated in the foreseeable future, because this has everything to do, again, with the project that I already mentioned a couple of times, the extension and the deepening of the Suez Canal project in Egypt. So this high utilization, and then I'm going back to slide number 9, has resulted or contributed to a very substantial extent to the results of dredging in the first half year, because utilization has reached such a high level that we have been necessitated to postpone repairs. And as the system, the accounting rules work, this means that we have generated income from utilization, but also income from repair charges to projects, whereas we haven't had time to do the repairs to the extent that we would usually do, which means that we have a lot of plus into the P&L, but less of the minus being the repair costs. We will see, to some extent, a reversal of that in the second half of the year, where we will have to do and catch up with respect to repairs. But that also, of course, then means that we will not be generating utilization nor repair income with the same vessels. So in that respect, the result has been tilted very much towards the first half of the year. And as I said, we will see some correction for that in the second half. Nevertheless, the bottom line is very strong utilization. We have, and I already mentioned it, we have been working, and not only ourselves, we have done this in a consortium of four partners on a project that has been considering certainly the number of months that we had to execute the project, which was nine or 10 months, the Suez Canal. Therefore, a very challenging project, delivering that in time. We had a completion agreed on the 1st of August, and we're very proud, as with our partners, that we have been able to achieve that date. And as some of you may have seen in the news bulletins on the 6th of August, with a lot of spectacle, the Suez Canal has been opened by the President of Egypt, and therefore successful job for the first half. Dutch infrastructure activities have contributed well to the bottom line. It's a difficult market. Some of you that follow maybe some of the players working in that field in Holland may have noted that some players have posted bad results in that area. It's a tough market. I think I can say that we have, as we have already done for quite some time, we're approaching that market in a very disciplined way. We don't chase for volume in that market. We're very careful in tendering in that market. And in the first half year, we've seen that such an approach does work because we have been able to post positive results also in this area. So good operations, good utilization of equipment, but also the third factor impacting that result in the first half year has been, again, substantial project closeout results. Also, I should add to that, not by far to the same to the extent that the results last year, first of the year, were impacted by closeout results. But again, also this year, some substantial results as out of the project. Then going on to offshore energy. All in all, notwithstanding what is going on in the oil and gas market, satisfactory results in the first half, high utilization of equipment, and on average good margins. Particularly that applies to Dockwise. I note there that with the activities of Dockwise, you could say we are more late cyclical. We are involved and still have a substantial order book for projects where we're involved in the transportation of platforms of modules for LNG plants. Very important project there is the Wheatstone project in Australia. All projects that have been initiated already years ago. We are working in the later stages of these projects. Still generating a good utilization of the equipment of Dockwise. So that has helped the result. As I mentioned before, obviously, that business is in US dollars, and with a stronger US dollar, that has also contributed to the bottom line. We're not isolated in the oil and gas. Also, we have our activities that are already now impacted by the lower oil prices. That applies in particular to our subsea services activities in the North Sea. We have our issues there with respect to utilization and pricing of the diving support vessel we are operating in that market. But that being said, that is a relatively small part of our business. Also important within offshore energy to note that we are also concentrating more on offshore wind farming. So it's not only oil and gas. Well, we could announce already the end of last year the award of the Wikinger project, one offshore wind park on the North Sea, which we do together with Falco Vessels here from the Netherlands in joint venture. Also again, in the joint venture, we have been successful in getting the award for the Zeamate wind farm project, our share in that project, around 250 million. So that being said, let's go on to towage and salvage. Performance in line with expectations and with last year. The EBITDA number and the EBIT numbers are down, but then you have to remind yourself, as we have discussed before, that the first half of last year we still had full consolidation of our towage operations in the Americas, Brazil, Panama and Canada. Mid of last year, we put those together with the towage operations in Brazil and Mexico of SAM from Chile in joint ventures, which means that as of the second half of last year, we only take into consideration our share in the net result, which obviously is lower than last year, full 100% EBITDA of those operations. If you would correct for that deconsolidation effect, performance is in line with last year. Also, performance in the joint ventures has been in line with last year, except for our joint venture Smith-Lomelco, which had a relatively difficult first half year, still substantial positive results, but they had to deal with issues, market issues in Australia, and more importantly, with the effects of the regime change. As you may know, in Nigeria, they changed the president in spring, which has resulted in a lot of the contracts being postponed, contract renewals being delayed due to the fact that in various places functionaries are being replaced. But all in all, with exception of Smith-Lomelco, as I said, in line with last year. Salvage, pretty busy first half of the year. We've been busy on the Baltic Ace car carrier removal here in the North Sea. Progress according to schedule. The removal of a platform for in the coast in front of the coast of Angola, various other jobs. So relatively high activity levels. Good contribution from the settlement of all the emergency response projects. Order book, as you can see, has come down, which has everything to do with the projects that I just mentioned, the Baltic Ace and the Perro Negro, where we did not win a contract of a similar size in the first half of this year. That is not something to be particularly worried about. Also, here applies that we're very selective. We like to focus on removal contracts, and removal contracts can be quite risky. We like to be very disciplined and go for the right contract there. That with respect to towage and salvage, just for your information, I won't discuss it, probably also somewhat less relevant for you than for the analyst community in general, but on page 13, you have some background materials on revenues and EBITDA of our joint ventures, our towage joint ventures, all based on a pro forma 100% basis. Last segment, holding and eliminations, which we have usually the corporate overhead cost. Some non-allocated to the segments. I mean, extraordinary income and expenses. That has been positive versus a large negative number last year. That negative number last year was partly due to the fact, aside from the normal cost that I just mentioned, the fact that last year we had a non-cash pension charge of around 15 million that we didn't have in this first half year. On the other hand, in the first half of this year, we had a revaluation result on our stake in Fugro. And just a bit of background on that item. Slide 15 that explains where that result comes from, which is that non-cash profit, nearly an accounting profit, which is due to the fact that whereas our stake in Fugro was slightly under 20% end of last year, and therefore under the accounting rules has been qualified as a financial instrument valued at the share price at the end of 2014 with a revaluation effect of 49 million put directly into equity, not into the profit and loss account. That's what the rules prescribe us to do. At the beginning of this year, as some of you may have noticed, we have gone through the 20% the 20% with our stake in Freecrow, and since then we have increased our stake to just over 25%. At the moment we went through the 20%, the same rules prescribe us to treat it as an investment in an associated company, which it actually is. As you may remember, we haven't taken those shares as a kind of simple investment last year, but as a strategic stake in Freecrow. So due to the fact that we have gone through the 20% at the beginning of this year, we had to treat it as such, and then the rules do prescribe us to take the revaluation, which was then on balance 29 million, because the stock price at the beginning of this year was slightly lower than at the end of last year, and the resulting revaluation number, which was 29 million, has to go through the profit and loss. So that's what happened, and as I said, it is a profit, but it is a non-cash item. Second Freecrow number we have in our results is our share in the net result of Freecrow in the first half of the year. Those of you that do follow Freecrow may have noted that they announced a loss of just under 10 million the first half of the year. Same accounting rules do prescribe us to treat it in a somewhat different manner, and in particular impairment charges. Certain impairment charges of Freecrow we do not have to follow. We cannot follow. We're not allowed to follow. So if you correct the Freecrow number for that account, according to accounting rules, the Freecrow's result for our accounting purposes was 17 million. Our share in that was slightly under 4. So in total, resulting in just over 32 million. Again, non-cash profit of Freecrow in our P&L over the first 6 months. That being said, I will go on quickly to our balance sheet. Also, I don't have a lot to mention there on page 18, except for the fact that you can see that on the second line, the number of intangibles and other fixed assets has dropped, whereas the investment in associated companies have increased. That has everything to do with the issue that we just mentioned, the fact that that our stake in Freecrow has recategorized from a financial instrument as of the end of last year into an investment in an associated company in the first half of this year. And the other thing maybe to mention is that you see a slight decrease in the interest bearing debt. If not for the fact that the dollar, as mentioned before, has become stronger in the first half of the year, you would have seen, as I will show in just a minute, that we had on balance a reduction in net debt, but that has been cancelled out by the fact that our US dollar debt has been translated at a higher exchange rate, notwithstanding the fact, by the way, that part of that US dollar debt has been hedged by us, but that again has to be treated differently in the balance sheet according to the accounting rules. Continuing on to page 19. Cash flow being almost 450 million, be the 500 that we mentioned before, minus interest charges and tax charges. By the way, tax charges has been relatively low in the first half, certainly compared to last year, whereas last year we had a substantial contribution from relatively high tax countries such as Australia. We had a more substantial contribution this first half of the year in jurisdictions where tax rates are lower, or we even do execute contracts free of tax. So therefore, relatively low tax rate of just over 10% first half of this year. But cash flow, all in all, around 450.
only 71 of that has been put on balance into new equipment. That's relatively low. Certainly not the kind of level also that we expect for the second half of the year. That has to a large extent to do with the fact that progress payments on the particular the large cutter we have under construction are more skewed to the second half of the year. Important progress payment we had to make has just been made at the beginning of the second half of the year instead of as was planned the first half of this year. Other factors contributing there is that we had relatively modest capital expenditure in the offshore energy segment, and you will not be surprised that that there, obviously, considering what's going on in that market, we have become extra critical with respect to cope CAPEX proposals we get from our business units there. Summary of all the cash in and cash out in the cash flow statement on page 20. Strong operational cash flow of almost 300 million. As I mentioned, 71 million spent on capital expenditure. We have made one important divestment beginning of this year, part of our infrastructure business in Holland, generating around 30 million cash in. On the other hand, as I also mentioned, we have increased our stake in Fugro from slightly under 20% to slightly over 25% in the first half year, involving around 100 million. So on balance, minus 70. We have offered our shareholders again this year in line with previous year, at their choice, a dividend in shares or dividend in cash. Around 75% of our shareholders have elected to receive their dividends in shares. So therefore, a relatively modest cash out in dividends of just under 50 million. Then the other movement is primarily a term payment, the last progress payment upon delivery of the vessel White Martin that had been completed end of last year, but was only therefore treated in capital expenditure last year. But the payment was only due at the beginning of this year. All in all, contributing in an unbalanced cash inflow of just over 50 million. And as I mentioned before, due then to the strengthening of the US dollar, that has not been translated into a positive change in the net debt due to the currency effect. Our net debt has increased just a bit with around 12 million. Slide 22, just for your information, but nothing new there to mention. Our main financing facilities, no change in the first half of the year, and therefore maturity profile still the same as the end of last year. Back with respect to the first six months. Looking forward to the second half of the year in dredging, we have relative good visibility based on the backlog. So we're looking with confidence to the second half of the year. Also, as I mentioned before, we will see in the first half in the second half of the year lower utilization, also due to the maintenance. So that will hit us two times: less income from utilization and more repair costs. In offshore oil and gas, one can say quite a challenging market, in particular in areas that are more short-term capacity driven, such as I mentioned the subsea services, in particular in the North Sea, with the oil and the gas companies cutting down not only on CAPEX but also on OPEX, where on the other hand a lot of capacity has
has come into that market the last couple of years. So putting utilization and putting prices under pressure. Also in some of the other parts of the business, we see some effects of the lower oil and gas price, which, by the way, we as many parties I think anticipate to take quite a while before we see higher levels again. We will also increasingly feel the effects of that, and obviously make sure that organization, fleet and CapEx, as I just mentioned, we're extra critical with respect to CapEx proposals, and we will obviously adjust fleet and organization where required to be aligned with how the market develops. Towage to end with, stable market. We don't expect any particular movements there. As you may know, the only remaining 100% owned operations there we have are in here in northwestern Western Europe, particularly the Netherlands and Belgium. We're making progress with respect to our intent and agreement we have with Kotech to combine our operations with their German and Dutch operations. And we expect to close that transaction before year end, which then will mean that all our towage operations are being held in joint venture form. CapEx for the year we expect to be in the range of 225 to 250, so below the level that we earlier indicated of 250 to 275. As I said, we're looking with confidence to the results for the second half of the year, but I mentioned quite some factors which have positively impacted the result in the first half. We don't expect that to be repeated in the second half of the year. So all in all, our results for this year are anticipated to stay well below the record level of last year of 490 million. With that, I would like to conclude my presentation and give the floor to you people to just put forward any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, that's star and one on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. If you wish to cancel your request, you can press the hash key. Your first question today is from the line of Jeff Edwards. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much for the call today. Always appreciated when you bring us up to date. And you answered a lot of the questions, actually, that I had with the presentation, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about your long-term prospects with Fugro, given some of the news that and performance issues that they've been having recently, and really what your strategy is with that investment.
As I mentioned during my presentation, we have a strategic investment in Fugro, and that is what it is. We have no intent. Or are preparing to make a bid. We see what they're doing at Fugro is doing the right things to bring that company back into shape and react to what's happening in their markets. And that's basically all I can say about that. We're critical, but shareholder, actually the largest shareholder in Fugro, having a dialogue with management on how the business is running and how they react on, as I said, on the market, on the issues they had important issues, but we believe they have taken and are taking the right steps to deal with that.
And when you consider that as a strategic investment, is that which division is that really aligned with?
Well, it's of course, I mean, if we look at the type of activities, that is aligned with offshore energy, but we're holding that investment as the group. So it's not part of the offshore energy division. It is part of the the group. So we're keeping that at holding levels and take it from there.
Okay. Thank you for that. And again, congratulations on a good first half.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Once again, it's star and one on your telephone if you wish to ask a question. Your next question today is from the line of Guillermo Sanchez. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for the call. At some point, you guys mentioned the much higher utilization rates for your hoppers and your cutters. Cutters, for example, were up 33% from last year. My question is, what is the reason for this much higher utilization rate not translating into higher revenues, into a similar increase in revenues?
There is no direct relationship between revenues in the dredging business and utilization of equipment. I mean, there is some indirect relationship, but looking, for instance, to last year, we had revenues included in Australia in the last couple of years, which were relatively low equipment intensive. I mean, you have to remind yourself we're in a contracting business where, with the help of the hoppers and the cutters, we do execute projects. But some projects are, let's say, primarily based on utilizing this equipment. No other activities involved. Sometimes we have projects where there are important other components like rock works, like subcontractors. So we can have quite a substantial variety, let's say, on the basis of, let's say, utilization of a large hopper or a large cutter, where on one project it can generate a revenue which can almost be double on what it is on another project. And then currency differences, etc. So you can see our revenue at some periods in time going down, and utilization of equipment going up, and vice versa. It's important there to remember that in general, when a project is very capital intensive, also generally the revenue is lower, but the margin is higher. Whereas if we have other components, like for instance, the large project we had a few years ago in Australia, the Gorgon project, where we had a very large subcontracted component, where your margin on such a subcontracted component is generally much lower.
Thank you very much.
Maybe one brief addition to what Hans just said. Bear in mind that although you see this huge jump in the utilization on the cutter side, that the relative importance within dredging, hoppers versus cutters, cutters are very much inferior in contribution, in absolute terms, in size, and therefore it is a very visible jump. But in terms of the relevance within the mix of hoppers and cutters, hoppers account 80-85% of cash flow within the dredging segment. So.
Yep.
Cutters in that sense are the less important of the two, albeit that having that high utilization in H1 is of course very nice.
Yeah, then also maybe one more factor to add, and I'm afraid it won't make it less complicated for you, but it is a reality. If you take the revenue number in dredging and inland infra, we have divested the company, as I mentioned before, in the infrastructure area, so we've lost some revenue, but that is a relatively low margin revenue and nothing related to utilization of equipment. And also a substantial part of our revenues is, as I mentioned, infrastructure activities in the Netherlands, which do generate quite substantial volume. Also, as I mentioned over there, we're careful there to be selective and not chase after volume, where that is revenue that almost does not involve any uh, any capital. So we have a mixed bag of, as Martijn mentioned, hoppers and cutters, dredging jobs with subcontracted components, without subcontracted components, and we have infrastructure revenue in the Netherlands, which bears no relation at all. So it's important to look at utilization, because if utilization levels of equipment are on low levels, that is generally bad news. And that's more important than just the simple revenue number. EBITDA and EBIT numbers and utilization are more relevant than just the revenue number.
Great. Thanks very much for all the details. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your next question today is from the line of Troy Gerhardt. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Interested in learning more about the fleet of DockWise. You know, we're talking about the utilization of the cutters and the hoppers. Can you tell me what the utilization of the DockWise fleet is, say, now, and what you think it's going to be going forward with the low oil and gas price?
The utilization the first half of the year has, if I'm correct, 84%. Well, that was somewhat higher. First half last year was just over 90%. Also, it's difficult to look at. We're late cyclical. We still carry quite a substantial backlog for projects for DockWise, and it's always utilization levels, but also quite importantly, the quality of the revenue and the margin of the work. There we still have a good base backlog for this year and even into next year. For instance, the project that I just mentioned, the Wheatstone project, where we're still able to add some variation orders to that. Obviously, what's happening in oil and gas, looking more forward, to assure ourselves of the backlog for 2017, 2018, now to 2019, we will have to see some progress on larger capital projects in the next 12 to 18 months or so. And I mean, we all see what's happening in that world, and I have no way in being very firm on where those numbers can be in those years. Obviously, there is downward pressure on that utilization. Also, there in that segment of our business, we see new capacity coming in that market. So pressure is clearly downward, but In what speed and to what extent it is, it's impossible to say at this point in time.
Is there a level of utilization that would make you extremely uncomfortable? You know, if that fell to 50%, would that cause some real stress or?
I think looking at this type of equipment it's level of utilization and then price levels, but let's say, if in that industry utilization levels would be at 50%, you won't see a lot of happy faces around here with respect to that activity. No, absolutely. I mean, it's 84 is, I would say, is very still very good. The 90 of last year was extremely good. I think also looking at the past, 70 is not super anymore. But also is not extremely worrying. But then going further down from there, things become worse in that segment. Yep.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. As far as you know, the projects going forward, I assume a lot of it isn't taking rigs out. Is a lot of it taking rigs? I mean, taking rigs out to sea, I assume is a lot of it taking rigs in for salvage as well as wind farm projects?
I think it's a mix there, Troy. What we see is on the one hand, there's a huge backlog still of rigs still in Asia, which are in the yards. rigs which, you know, will be delivered, some built to order, some have been built speculatively. Expectations that those rigs will all come into the market and will displace older rigs, less efficient rigs. So as far as we're concerned, that carousel will continue for another year and a half, albeit that the repositioning of old rigs coming off a contract and getting onto a new contract, that is where you do see the decline.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the call.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. You have no further questions at this time. As a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. That's star and one on your telephone if you do wish to ask a question.
Okay, well, I guess that it was all clear. So we will end then this call if there are no further questions. Again, thanking taking an interest and calling in, and we'll be talking to you again. What is it, in March next year when we have the full year numbers out?
And if there are any questions in the interim, please don't hesitate to reach out to any of us on the team here. Thank you, Hans, and thanks everyone for dialing in.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.